All right. Hey, everybody. This is Sam Luce. I'm here with another episode of Take 10. And I have Matt McKee with me today. And Matt is a good friend of mine. We met probably like 3 years ago, Matt, was it?
Yeah, it was probably 3 years ago.
About 3 years ago. And one thing I really appreciate about Matt is that he's really passionate about the local church, about kids ministry, but he's also one of the more tech-savvy people I know. He knows a lot about technology and that kind of thing. In fact, he has his own company that makes iPhone apps for churches. Our church has one. It's great. And it's called Roar is the name of your company. Is that right?
It is. Yeah. R04R is how we spell it, but we pronounce it Roar.
Awesome. And our church has it. We love it. And we'll probably talk a little bit more about that. And I'll definitely be adding a link with this blog so that people can go find it. So that's awesome. Let me just ask you a few questions. We have 9 minutes and 20 seconds left, so let's get into it.
Okay. Sweet.
How important do you think technology is to kids' ministry, Matt?
Well, you know, don't get me wrong. Technology will never replace a relationship, and relationships will always be number one. But I think how we leverage technology to help those relationships is very important, and I believe how we utilize technology outside of Sunday morning and outside of our relationships is very important. So I do believe technology is going to be key, but it is never going to be number one because it will always be a medium. And how you change that medium to help with relationships, I think, is the number one question that we should be asking.
All right. Well, no, I think that's great. So, what does that look like to you? Like what are some of those mediums that you're talking about? Like, give us a couple examples of like what are some technology musts that every kid leader needs? You think that they should use?
Well, I mean, the internet. You know, it's funny that Wired magazine just came out and said the World Wide Web is dead. You know, like a year after they said blogging was dead. Which just means that more and more people are utilizing smartphones and more people are utilizing apps that are very specific to what information they were trying to get. So I think when we look at technology and we look at, you know, what's to come and what we need right now, I really do think we should be not only utilizing the internet, even though, you know, it's now dead, but we should be utilizing specific applications that not only happen on a smartphone, but maybe a desktop, or eventually what's going to be happening on a Wii, on an Xbox 3, I mean a PS3, and an Xbox 360. There's going to be all of these different tools that we're going to be able to use, and those are just, to me, things I get excited about to say, how can we leverage those for information and for relational purposes?
Yeah, so what you're seeing kind of changing is then is sort of like the access points for the information kind of thing.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Sunday morning or Saturday night or whenever you do your church services, I still think that's going to be key. I don't think, and church online, don't get me wrong, is great, and I go to a church that does church online, and people all over the world, you know, kind of come in to see what's being taught. And I'm glad we're being able to utilize that technology. But there's something still about being able to touch and feel and have a relationship, you know, with a real person. So there's always going to be that need, and that's going to be great. And then technology, of course, is just going to be able to build upon that. That's the way I kind of see it.
Yeah, you said how Wired magazine said that the internet is dead and what was the other thing was dead? Blogging's dead. Now, you know what's interesting is that there's still some churches that and some people that they don't really utilize the internet and they don't really blog and that type of thing, all those different mediums, and that's neither here nor there. But why do you think churches in general, this is one question I always have, why do you think that churches in general seem to be late adapters instead of early innovators when it comes to technology and that kind of thing?
Well, I think just in general, the most important question that every church has to answer is, what are we doing on Sunday? So it's hard to get outside of that question because Sunday always comes to see a bigger picture and say, how can we innovate for something else when Sunday has to happen? And because that happens week in, week out, you get into a schedule, you get into a routine. And when that happens, innovation is hard to have happen, and it's harder to adapt to new technologies because it doesn't go along with the routine that you're already in. So I think the thing that is the greatest ritual that we have as a church can also be the greatest hindrance that we have as a church to help us be very innovative or be very adaptable.
Right. It's like a tidal wave. It's like when you're done with one, the next one's right on the heels of it. It can be overwhelming sometimes. Yeah, totally. I get that.
So, you know, because you're just planning, you know, week in, week out, it's hard to pick up, okay, how do I do a Facebook group? Or why in the world would I even use an app? Or why am I going to need to know about an integrated house and why content on TV in 5 years is going to be totally different than it is today?
Yeah. Well, I think that's a great question. So what would you say to someone that says that? Why should I tweet? Why should I read blogs? Why should Facebook, iPhone apps? What would you say to someone that says that? What's the big deal? You know what I mean? I'm supposed to minister to my community, my local community. So why do I need to do all that stuff?
Well, you know, one of the greatest advancements that we've seen really in human history is being able to print. And that printing, many people even then said, well, why should we print a Bible? Even the printing press. And I don't understand that. You know, don't we have enough copies already? And then, you know, when we look back on that, we go, wow, that's just kind of ridiculous. Of course we need printing. Of course we need to print as many Bibles as we can in as many different languages as we can, because we're going to reach more people. And all the internet is a vehicle for information. So the more people that are plugged into that, the more we utilize that, the more we leverage that, the more people we're going to see, the more people we're going to be able to reach, get that information out to. Because our goal, of course, is to tell people that God loves them and that, that he has grace and mercy and forgiveness and really salvation for them. Mm-hmm. So that's why you do it, is so that you can reach more people and have a global impact and not just a local impact, even though both are very important.
Right. No, that's a great answer. What about this one? I've heard this quite a few times. I've heard people say that, you know, the kids are bombarded by technology every day. When they go to school, when they, you know, the kids have cell phones younger and younger. They have, you know, they have smart boards in their classrooms. You know, why? And a lot of times people say is, you know, that on Sunday morning we should give them a break from all that technology and we should just teach the Bible straight out of our Bible and then that's it. You know, what would you say to those people? It's like, that would say, hey, we need to keep like one day that's almost like a technology Sabbath for our kids.
Well, what they're screaming is that they want to preserve the relationship. And I don't disagree with them. I do say that the relationship part is key. It's first and foremost, and it is something that if we're not doing, then I think as a church, we're wrong because people need community. But if we're doing our job technology-wise, not only are we having offline relationships, but we're also having those online relationships that could be very key. It happens outside of Sunday to make sure that we're touching Monday through Saturday so that not only are they reminded about a Bible verse that they learned on Sunday, but they're being able to see it, apply it, use it in their life. And it could be with them 80% of the day. And that, to me, is why it's key. And so if we abandon technology on Sunday morning, then why in the world would they come back to technology on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday to learn about the church? Because the disconnect's going to be, well, I don't use technology at church. So why would I use it any other day of the week?
Wow, that's a great point.
For learning about God.
Yeah. No, that's great. That's great. That's a great point. We got about a minute and 15 seconds left. So let me ask you this, because I know with your company Roar, how can Roar help kids pastors? What can you do to like?
Yeah, we have a platform right for churches that gets their podcasts, gets their videos, gets all their information that happens on Sunday, so that people can access it during the week. And to utilize that as a children's pastor, just think of it as the ultimate take-home for parents. Here is what lesson your kid learned. Here's the Bible verse. Here's all this information so that you're equipped during the week when you're away from church so that you can talk to your kid. That is the goal behind all of that information that we're trying to put into an app.
Well, that's great. I think that's great. I think that would be amazing to get to that point where you could do that. I think that's great. You know, one of the things, you know, I just was thinking, one of my favorite quotes that that one of the guys I really look up to said was this, you know, just about the whole area of technology, not about technology per se, but I think it would apply, is he says this, he says, what God blesses as a supplement, he curses as a substitute. And I think that's just the whole thing with that applies so well to technology, is that, you know, that it needs to be a supplement, but not a substitute for a relationship, like you're saying. I mean, I think that's fantastic. Last question.
Sweet, man.
Yeah. You are a dominator in fantasy football. And every time I've ever played fantasy football with you in a kids ministry thing or whatever, you always, like, destroy people. I need help because I only know baseball. What is your fantasy football advice for me? Because I don't want to get destroyed. I want to try to beat all these football people just so I can bust their chops about it, because I only know baseball.
Well, see, that's the deal, right? You know baseball, and I know football. If I tried to go up against you on baseball, I wouldn't know what I'm doing. I play one fantasy sport a year, and that's fantasy football. I also use actually a program to help me draft the best players. I use technology a lot to figure out. I even put in the points, and it's a whole process. So I don't know if I can just tell you 30 seconds-wise how you're going to win your fantasy football team, because I've been, you know, working at this for years. But I will say this. It's very important that you have a top-rated quarterback and that you have one of the best running backs. So your first two picks, that's what I'd go after. After that, be early and often at picking up rookie running backs, because they're going to do very well if you can pick them up during the rest of the season.
Come on now. That's what I need to hear. All right, Matt, thank you so much for your time. And what's your website again so people can check it out?
Well, you can get there a couple different ways. McKee Live, McKeelive.com is the blog. The business, of course, is r04r.com.
All right, Matt, thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Sam. See you.